Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, at the end of this chapter, there are two stories about two different people from verse 32 down through the end. And I want us to look at something very encouraging first, and then I want to look at each of their stories. Let's begin reading in Acts chapter 9, verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Is that not a wonderful story? They saw the mercy and the grace and the work of God done in this man. They saw what God did to this man. And this man went around telling everybody how great things the Lord had done for him. And verse 35 says, all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. When they saw the gift of God in him and the power of God to him, they themselves turned to the Lord. Now, this gospel that we preach is not a weak gospel. It is not a weak gospel. The reason is because the God of this gospel is not a weak God. He is the all-powerful God. This is a saving message of a saving God. His arm is not short. He is able to save to the uttermost. And there's no reason to believe that he won't do the same thing today that he did back then. There's no reason that we should not believe that with all of our hearts. Now, whether he does or does not, that's his business. But we ought to know and believe that he changes not. That's what he said in his word. He said, I change not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's willing, he's able. He's able. Let's start praying that where he saves one, he would save more. Where he has saved one in a house, let's pray that he'll save more. All of his people are known to him from the foundation of the world, and he won't lose one. But he told us, you pray for him, pray without ceasing. Brethren, pray for us. So let's just do that. Where our Lord has saved one in a town, one in a city, let's pray that he'll save more. Save mightily in this place, Lord. We know you're able. We know you are. We believe that you are able. Well, I just told you that there were two different people with two different stories. But really, it's two different people with the same story. Different circumstances, but the same story. Here's the message I want to get across this morning. The title of it is, The Power of His Name. The Power of His Name. Now let me show you these two people. Verse 32 again says, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy." This man, Aeneas, had palsy. That means that he was paralyzed. And he had been for 8 years. He did nothing but lay in a bed for 8 years. Verse 34 says, "And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole." That's all he did. He just told the man who makes him whole. That's all he did. He just told the man who makes him whole. He said, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." And he arose immediately. "And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." What a response. What a response from just declaring the name of Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? What a response. All right, now we have a lady. Verse 36 says, "There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did." There's a big difference between this woman and that man. He didn't do anything but lay on a bed. She was full of good works and alms deeds, constantly doing, constantly running and doing and working. Verse 37 says, "And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come unto them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeling down, and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Why did many believe in the Lord? After he did this, many believed in the Lord. Why? The reason is because every bit of that was done in the name of the Lord. Oh, the sovereignty of His name. The power of His name. A man who was crippled and could not move stood up. And a woman who was dead, I mean dead, lived by the power of His name. Peter just declared His name. I had the opportunity to preach to about 100 people who, as far as I know, none of them had ever heard the true gospel. They had never heard of the true and living God and everything that He accomplished for sinners. They had only been in religion. And my wife went with me. And after the message was over and we were driving away, we were talking about it. And it could be that nobody heard a thing. It might have gone in one ear and out the other. People generally are not concerned. They're not concerned. They're not burdened by the truth of life and death and these matters. They don't listen. But none of that matters when God moves. None of that matters. This is not reliant on the dead person. This is reliant on the God who makes the dead live. And none of that matters when God moves. And the declaring of His name is the power of God unto salvation. It is what raises people from the dead. It's what makes a lame man walk and a blind man see and a deaf man hear. Just the declaring of His sovereign name. And we're called to go out and declare it and then walk away and leave it in the Lord's hands. And it's amazing the power that is in His name. It's amazing the power that is in His name. He breaks men and women through the declaring of His name. He binds up broken hearts through the declaring of His name. He calls His sheep through the declaring of His name. Now, in our text here, why were these physical healings done? That is not actually what the world needs at all. Why were these physical healings done? They were done to show us the spiritual healing that God performs on the heart of a sinner. That's the only reason these two accounts are written here. It's to show the spiritual healing that we all need. If a person was literally raised from the dead, or if an eight-year cripple, a man who'd been in a bed for 8 years, if he stood up and walked, that would get a lot of attention, wouldn't it? But turn with me back over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9, verse 1 says, "And he," that's our Lord, "he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth." Blasphemeth. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." But the man is still lying in the bed. We see no change. We don't see a change. Verse 4 says, "And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier, to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk?" Which one is easier? Which one is easier, to justify and sanctify a sinful man before a holy God, or to make him stand up and walk around? Which one is easier? Verse 6 says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Power on earth to forgive sins. The only reason I am performing this healing on His body is to prove to you a healing on his heart, a healing of the soul. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Our Lord put this man Aeneas and this woman Tabitha in a position that proved their need of healing. And that's what the Lord does spiritually to sinners. His sinners. His chosen sinners. He comes to them. He comes to them because they can't come to Him. They're spiritually crippled. He comes to them even while they are dead in their trespasses and sins. And He gives life to them. A man named Robert Hawker said, The bed of sickness is blessed. The bed of sickness is blessed upon which the Lord Jesus puts His people. The bed of spiritual sickness is a blessed thing. There's an old poem, it says, A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. But this man, Robert Hawker, he said, The bed of sickness is blessed upon which the Lord Jesus puts His people. For they are sure of the frequent visits of their almighty physician. Oh, it's a blessed place to be. That bed of sickness. Seeing our spiritual sickness, that's a blessed place to be. Because our almighty physician comes to the bed. He comes to the bedside with the balm of Gilead. Oh, it's a blessed place to see our need. To be put in a place where we see that we need Him. A man named Charles Spurgeon said, The greatest blessing in this life is health. The only greater blessing is sickness. It makes us cry out to Him. When everything is well and great, we have no need of Him, not really. But when sickness comes, physical sickness makes us cry out. And if we get a glimpse of our spiritual sickness, oh man. Physical sickness is just a reminder of spiritual sickness. That's all it is. And that's what we need to see. We don't need a physical healing. That's wonderful if the Lord gives it. That's kind if the Lord gives it. But that's not what we need. We need a spiritual healing. And we have a great physician who can do that. He is able. I'm telling you, He is able. Go with me back over to Acts chapter 9. These two very different people both prove to us that it does not matter who you are. It does not matter what you've done. It does not matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter whether you've come from the gutter or the pew. It does not matter if you've been in the gutter all your life or if you've been in the pew all your life. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And whether a man's in the gutter or the pew, he's a sinner. The pews are full of sinners. But Christ came to save sinners. This man Aeneas, he didn't do anything but lay in a bed, did he? Tabitha was working on her good works. They were both, though, without hope. Both of them. One man was doing nothing. One woman was working her heart out. Both of them were without hope. And so is every sinner who is without Christ. Every sinner. We are all palsied in our souls. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins. But when the power of the name of Jesus Christ comes to a sinner, when God through His Holy Ghost sends the name of Jesus Christ straight into the heart of a sinner, that sinner lives. And that sinner comes. Every single time when God calls His sinner, "You come to Me," through the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every single time that sinner comes. Every single time. "All that the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I'll in no wise cast out." Is that not wonderful news? Peter, he didn't beg and plead either one of these people. He didn't beg either one of them. He didn't say, "Now come on, Aeneas, won't you please get up? Please." No, he said, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed." Why make his bed? Because he's not going to need it for a while. How long do you think it took that precious man to lay back down? After he got up, he'd been laying there for 8 years. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he got up. How long do you think it took him to lay back down? "Aren't you tired, Aeneas?" "Nope. Nope, I think I'm going to go for another jog. I've been set free." You know, that's what a sinner does when Christ sets him free, through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Set free. Freedom. Oh, freedom from bondage. Freedom from this bed that I could not get up from. And that's my sin. Freedom from sin. Freedom from self. Oh, the Lord in mercy comes to a sinner and says, "Arise. Start walking. You're free. You're free." Peter didn't say to Tabitha. He did not say, "Tabitha, can you hear me? Tabitha, is there any life in there at all? Can you hear me at all, Tabitha?" No, that's not what he said. That woman was dead. Absolutely dead. And he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she arose. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, she arose. Verse 42 says, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." Many did. Peter didn't get the glory for this. Peter did not get the glory for this. And God's true messenger does not want the glory for this. This was all done in the name of the Lord. Many believed in the Lord. They believed on Christ. Turn with me to chapter 3 of Acts. Acts chapter 3, and look at verse 6. It says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Oh, he loved them. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. As that lame man which held Peter and John, all the people, they ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. What caused all of that? The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, the power of His name. That's the name that made this dead sinner live. Chapter 4, verse 8 says, Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No salvation in any other. No payment for sin in any other. One name whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord means Jehovah. That's God. Jesus is the man, the perfect man. Christ is both. Christ means the union of God and man. Let me close with this verse of Scripture. Go with me over to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord. He is risen from the grave, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. Declaring that to sinners is life. It's life. The power of His name. That's our hope of eternal glory. It's in His name. It's in everything He is. It's in everything He has done. It's in everything He has made us to be. In His name. Until next Sunday morning, may our Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.